Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this Evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ over 56 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington. Then 1 year later, God called me to preach, and I've been sharing Jesus ever since. Oh, friends, I want you to know I'm getting so excited I can't really stand myself. I can't wait to get in my van and get out to Oregon and get starting on our film. I wish you'd really pray for us. You know, this wonderful ex-pastor of mine is the one that's got this thing whole thing started. Now, the movies that his sons are making, all Christian movies, of course, they're being shown in theaters around the world. So you pray that this will really... I want it to touch people's lives. See, it's just a thing after go. But it shows what God can do after he saves a person. This is not about Cecil. This is about souls, precious, precious souls. So you pray that God will glorify that movie and give it the shot that it needs to help people around the world. Well, listen, I want you to kick off your slippers, sit back and relax, and have a cup of coffee or a glass of iced tea or something. Let's see what the Lord has for us, okay? Here's our thought for the day. An expert knows all the answers if you ask the right questions. Tonight we'd like to speak on God questions Earth's first killer. And I read to you from Genesis 4 and 6. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? And why is their countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and slew him. Well, God's first family, well, you know, Adam and Eve has been told to have children. And I read in Genesis 1:28, And God blessed them and said unto them, Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, over everything that moveth upon the earth. Well, beloved, I can truly say I have followed this commandment. The Moe family have done their part. I have 47 grandchildren and great-grandchildren. So I think we've done our part. Well, Adam and Eve were told to have children. This command given before the fall, of course. Now it proves that sex in marriage has always been right. And I read to you from Hebrews 13:14, Marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers, God will judge. Beloved, listen to me. You know, today, a lot of young people are making a horrible mistake by shacking up. They live together. Now they're not married. Did you read in the, hear on the news where New York passed same-sex marriage and they're so proud of it? And they said there's four states in the United States that has same-sex marriage. Do they realize that that's another Sodom and Gomorrah? France was so tickled they just rejoiced. Hey, we've got homosexuals here in our town. They go parading about every 2 or 3 months up and down the street. We're gay and we're proud. God made us that way, thank God. Listen, boy, oh boy, are they in for a rude awakening. Hey, I don't hate homosexuals and lesbians. I sure don't agree with them, but I don't hate them. And I'll do everything I can to introduce them to Christ, because the Bible said they will not go to heaven. We have homosexual churches, homosexual pastors. They said, oh, that doesn't refer to us. God made us that way. No, he didn't. God didn't make me an alcoholic. Cecil Moe made himself an alcoholic. If I'd have known when I took that first drink that I was going to end up an alcoholic, I'll guarantee you I'd have never taken it. Well, so it proves that sex in marriage has always been right. But shacking up is sin. Don't let anyone ever kid you. Cain and Abel and other children were born. And now I read in Genesis 4, 1, 2. And Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bare Cain, and said, I have gotten a man from the Lord. And again she bare his brother Abel, and Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. Well, violent attitude entered the first family. Now, Abel was a sheep herder and a man of faith. And I read in Hebrews 11:4, by faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witnesses that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. Well, friends, listen. Cain, a farmer, but he was not right with God. He was jealous of his brother Abel. He hated his brother. He was controlled by anger. Did you know that there's anger management places all over the world? And you know how they could learn to control their anger? By trusting the Lord. Now you say, Cecil, are you sitting there and telling me you never got angry? That's not true at all. But I have a lot less anger since I become a Christian. And you can control it with God's help. Now, God questions to an angry man. Well, these are questions that show God's interest in our feelings. Hey, you're down in the dumps today, and you know, I have to confess something. I don't like to, but I've got to confess it. Most diabetics have terrible mood swings at times. You know, I can be just as happy as a dead pig in the sunshine, and all of a sudden, whambo, I'm down in the dumps. I'm depressed. That's caused by our blood sugar. I don't understand it. I don't even claim to understand it. But it's true, and it really works. Well, why are you angry, God asks? Why are you feeling down? See, God's questioning this old boy because He wants to hear what he's got to say. Well, do these questions from God apply to you and I today? Well, are you jealous of another man's gain? Friends, that's something that we have to fight. You know what? I have to confess something. When I first surrendered to preach, and I'd go into these big fancy churches, and I'd go into these pastors' study, I would have given anything to have that study and have those wonderful books that they had. Well, I didn't have them. And I remember one, I'm ashamed of myself. this mother church of ours, I went to it one time, and here the pastor was, and he had his desk and his study, and he had his books out there, and he's working on messages, and I really got jealous of him. I thought, why? Because I had to work all the time to pastor my church. I worked all day and would visit at night, and then I'd drive 15 miles one way to go to my church. And I'd go home to lunch, and I'd come back out at night. Yes, I was envious of people that had all those things, but it come out all right. God knew it, and God took care of me. Is hate beginning to grow in your heart about some things? Oh, listen. Is your bad attitude showing in your face? Well, do you remember when Elijah cried out, and God took him out there and gave him a brook and a nice shady place, and a raven come over and brought meat every day. And Elijah sat back and put his hands behind his head and his feet cocked up on a stump, and he said, man, this is living. Well, one day God just cut off the water. His raven quit coming, and he said, what are you doing here, Elijah? I got a job for you. Now you've rested up, you've had R&R, get out of here. I remember in the war, and I was down in the South Pacific at Guadalcanal, and they would let us go ashore for R&R. We got a can of beer and a bottle of pop. And that was our R&R. But oh, we enjoyed it. Oh, my. Everybody needs R&R. In fact, I have a friend I call two friends I call for their R&R to be sure that everything's going well. And I think they enjoy it. Well, you remember when Jonah, he powdered outside of Nineveh, but God cared. See, Jonah didn't give a plug nickel about those people. God had a mission for him. Did you know tonight God has a mission for you? I don't know what your mission is, but he has one for you. Are you doing it? Or are you sitting back thinking, well, if I had enough money, I'd go do it. No, no, no. Go do it. Remember when God parted the Red Sea? Well, I don't know, but I think maybe Moses stepped off in the water up to his neck. Sometimes, friends, we have to do something, and then God will show us how it's done. He will lead us. He will direct us. But remember, no matter how troubled you are, God cares, and God's going to lead you if you will surrender your all and follow him. God is not an author of confusion. Believe me, he's not. And he'll lead you if you'll let him. But God cares about your troubled heart. And I'm sure there's many listening tonight who have troubled hearts. Man alive, if you read the newspaper and you watch the news, you get so down in the dumps and depressed. We hear our president get up there and telling us things are going great, and he's off golfing about 15 times a day or a week. He doesn't care one whit about our country, whether you believe that or not. We need to pray for him. I pray for his soul. I pray that God will save him. Him and his wife, they need salvation. That's what they need. Well, these are questions that reveal the cause of the first murder. Every act, remember this, every act starts as a thought. You know, John wrote about Cain's downfall, and I'll turn over here to 1 John. Let's see, 1 John, what is that? 1 John 3, 10 through 16. In this, the children of God are manifest, and the children of the devil. Whosoever doeth not righteous is not of God, neither he that loveth not his brother. For this is the message that ye heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. Not as Cain, who was of that wicked one, and slew his brother. And wherefore slew he him? Because his own works were evil, and his brother's righteous. Marvel not, my brethren, as the world hates you. We know that we have passed from death unto life, because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and ye know that no murderer hath eternal a life abiding in him. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. You know, that is something. Isn't that something? Do you love your brethren? I don't mean you can't get irritated, because I'm sure my wife gets irritated at me, because I'm kind of bullheaded at times and impatient at times. But this man's work was evil. He was convicted by the righteousness of Abel. He did not love his brother. Oh, boy, I'm pretty troubled tonight with my throat. Well, his hate determined his fate. Whosoever hate his brother is a murderer. Well, we read in Genesis 4:15. I got to find it here first. And the Lord said unto him, therefore, whosoever slayeth Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark upon Cain, lest any finding him would should kill him. God didn't want him to be killed. You know, when we do things wrong, he says, if someone does something wrong to us, vengeance is mine, thus saith the Lord. He didn't love his brother, and his hate, like I say, determined his fate. Now, what destructive thoughts are you entertaining tonight? Lustful thoughts that may lead to sexual sin. Covetous thoughts that may lead to dishonesty. Hateful thoughts that may lead to violence, even murder. Now, these are questions intended to change Cain's life. God acts out of his love. Listen. Loving instruction followed these questions. God tells Cain how to be accepted by him. But God warns Cain of the danger of continuing in sin. God meets us where we are, and God wants us to change course or repent. That means a change of heart. I'm sorry, I'm really struggling. But God calls us to look to Him in faith. What might have been? Cain could have forsaken his anger and unbelief. And you know what? Cain could have responded to God's love. And so can you. Let's replace your bitterness with His blessings. Friends, I am so sorry, so terribly sorry, but I'm going to have to cut this short tonight because this is irritating to you and it's irritating to me. Well, friends, let me ask you this question. Do you know where you're going when you die? And you say, whew, no, I don't think I do. Well, if you don't know, the Bible is very plain when it said, this is written that ye may know that you have passed from death unto life. Didn't say guess, you may know. And if you don't know, then you're lost. Because you see, when you accept Jesus and repent of your sins, God gives us the assurance in our heart that we've been born again. That's what He said. And I know it's true because the morning I accepted Jesus, remember, I was drunk when I walked into that preacher's home, very embarrassed, very ashamed of my life. But as God's Holy Spirit revealed His love toward me, I began to understand that truly there was hope. Now, I've told you this a jillion times. I never thought that God loved alcoholics. I thought He loved preachers and little children and nice people, churchgoers, but not an old drunk. But I was wrong. I was dead wrong. Because He does love alcoholics. He loves homosexuals. Yes, and He loves President Obama. He sure does. And He'd save him in a heartbeat. All He's got to do is repent of his arrogant heart and invite Jesus in, and he could be saved. Well, if you say, I don't know where I'm going, then I'm going to offer an invitation to you. I have the authority of Almighty God that if you would repent of your sins, He will give you eternal life. For God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That's what the preacher told me. He said, for God so loved Cecil Moe. Now, that's personal. Oh, it's very personal. Now, it's an experience when you accept Jesus. He takes out the heart of stone, gives you a heart of flesh. And He comes into your heart, gives you the Holy Spirit. And then you're... or as a little child. Well, friends, I got to stop. Listen, tonight, if you'd like to trust Jesus, I'm going to offer an invitation for you. It's the most powerful prayer that you'll ever pray in your life, and here's how it goes. Dear Heavenly Father, in Jesus' precious name, I confess, Lord, that I am a sinner. And Lord, I am sorry for my sins, and I'm sorry for the way I've treated you and my family and my loved ones. And oh God, tonight, the very best way I know how, I'm opening my heart and receiving you as my personal Lord and Savior in Jesus' name. Amen. Beloved, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to get on the phone, call 303-471-8534. I will not use your name on the air. I will not embarrass you. I will not sit down and write and ask you for any money, and I sure don't care where you go to church. After you're saved, if you'll ask the Holy Spirit, He will lead you to where He wants you to attend. I'll never tell you where to go to church. I want the Lord to tell you, then you'll be right. Well, now, if you can't afford that call, you call me, Collect, and I'll pay for the call. If you'd like my book or my movie, you let me know, and I'll send it to you free, postpaid, because I want to help people come to Jesus. Alcoholic friend of mine, God loves you with an eternal love. He changed my life. You get me an alcoholic saved, and I'll tell you what, you usually have a great worker for the Lord. That's true. Well, friends, get on the phone now and call 303-471-8534. Well, friends, for the past half hour, your host of the Evangelist Cecil Moe, please forgive me for my having a problem with my throat. It's not your fault. But when you got COPD, you have to fight that all the time. Pray for us and pray that we'll be able to go out to Oregon next month. And I'm praying that God will open so many doors for me to share the gospel in churches and share my testimony. And then make that movie. I am excited, and I hope you're excited for me. Well, friends, until this time next Sunday night, and be sure and pray for our service in the prison in July before we leave. I want you to stay sweet. Keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.